You're listening to the ModernDogTrainer.net podcast, bringing you the best industry tips and topics for professional dog trainers worldwide. Now, here are your hosts, Ines Gesho and Kat Camplin.
Good morning or afternoon. This is the Modern Dog Trainer podcast, and we're here with Ines McNeil. Hi, Ines.
Hi.
And I'm Kat Camplin, and we also are joined by Deering English, who we woke up this morning. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Our scheduled guest had disappeared, so we dragged Deering out of bed to come talk about the bucket game. Deering, can you give a little introduction of yourself first?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a KPA certified training partner, and I live in San Diego. I do a lot of training here, and I'm currently focusing on building webinars and online resources for pet owners so that I can help a larger audience.
That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks.
So your first webinar was on the bucket game, and I understand you're doing another one on the bucket game. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep. My next one is on January 17th, and they're all free. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. So can you explain what the bucket game is?
Yeah, there has been a lot of confusion about what it is, so I'd be happy to. So essentially what the bucket game is it's a way for us to do all the weird things that we have to do to our dogs to keep them healthy, like vet visits, grooming, all of that. It's a way for us to do that in a way that they are communicating with us that they're okay with it, and then if they become uncomfortable, they can ask us to stop. For example, with my dog, I have him do a chin rest, usually on a chair, and there is, you know, a container of food in front of him. So it looks potentially like he's just staring at the food and waiting for me to feed him. But if at any point during whatever procedures or whatever kind of weirdness is happening in or around or to him or whatever, he can say no thank you just by lifting his head. And actually, I've been going through my video footage, and for the next webinar that I'm going to do, I have before video of him. And when I first adopted him, I was like, let's just see what happens, and tried to touch him, and he would mouth incessantly to the point that I ended up bruised. And in the video clip that I have, he doesn't mouth me that hard, but I'm not trying very hard. Right. But within just a week of doing the bucket game training, I was able to brush him. And wow. This is stuff that, like, you know, I probably would have had to use force, which is something I don't do. So I was just vacuuming a lot when I first adopted him. So thankfully now I don't have to vacuum as much. And so, yeah, that's kind of what the bucket game is. It's a way for us to give our dogs the chance to say no thank you without having them resort to bigger, larger things like growling or biting. Yes. So it's a way for all of us to stay safe and comfortable.
So could you do this concept with other species?
I haven't tried it myself yet, but I can't imagine why not. I think you could apply it, find a way for that learner to say no thank you. So with my personal dog, it's him coming out of the chin rest as his no thank you. Other dogs, it's just looking away from the bucket of treats. I can't imagine why you couldn't teach another species, you know, some sort of cue that was similar of look away from the bucket or come out of the station position that you're in.
It's sort of like maintaining a nose target for a certain period of time until they don't want to continue.
Exactly. Okay. Or a lot of people use it with the eye contact target where the dog's just staring at the bucket of food. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that all species can stare at things. So definitely something that could be trained. I just haven't done it.
That's great. And just to make sure, like, you, these dogs are doing it completely voluntarily. Like, so there's no leash holding them, you know, they're correct. Close to you. They're standing there on their own.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep. How I initiate all of these sessions with the learners and my clients, they just put out the little bucket of treats. And if the, like, at this point, the dog knows what's coming because you also have, like, your nail clippers or your toothbrush or whatever, and you set it down next to the bucket. So the dog can opt in by doing the chin rest or doing the staring at the bucket, or they can just choose to not do it. So yeah, and they're not on leash. They can wander away. They can go get water. They could go chase the cat or whatever else happens to be going on in the house. So.
Awesome.
Do you find this to be a hard sell for people that are looking for just basic obedience? Do you come in and go, hey, let's also teach the bucket game? And they look at you like you're insane?
A little bit. Yeah. But what's kind of cool is there's a nice segue into the bucket game of the dog can learn a lot of impulse control through it. Because you do genuinely have a container of treats out and the dog is not eating them. So you can get the pet owner interested in that initially just because, you know, maybe their dog does a lot of counter surfing or they grab things when the owner is holding it.
Right.
So you can slide into it that way and then be, oh, by the way, you know, let's see how cool this is when we try to brush your dog now and your dog allows it for the first time.
Awesome. So is there other applications other than, say, body handling? I mean, I'm guessing there's, you know, eardrops and
yeah.
I guess the one that I would have difficulty with is how do you do, like, say, toothbrushing if they're supposed to maintain a target on a chair? Like, are there complications and other applications for the bucket game?
A fantastic question. So just to kind of touch on the toothbrushing one, it totally works. With my pup, he maintains his chin target and I can bring my hand in and lift up his lips.
Okay.
He's actually started, it's kind of interesting, when my hand gets to like a certain distance from his mouth, he'll lift up the lip that I'm starting to touch. Which initially I was like, wait, is this like a, maybe he's starting to show his teeth? But no, he genuinely is just like, here's my teeth, you know? So it totally works with that. And what's really nice is that, like, I'm not in there holding his muzzle to brush his teeth. So he can move his head away if needed. The rest of your question, other applications. I've been using it a lot. We've had an extra dog living with us on and off, and I use it a lot for distraction work. So if that dog is doing something silly and my dog can maintain looking at the treat bucket, then we can continue going. And of course, when the extra dog is loose, then we're not doing extreme stuff like nail clipping and temperatures and all of that.
Right.
But it has been really cool because doing a couple of bucket game sessions with the extra dog loose is now allowing me to work my dog away from the bucket game, doing normal tricks and training and stuff like that with the other dog loose. And my dog is so much more focused. So just giving him, you know, a little bit of a warm up of, hey, you can make the choices. You can go play with that other dog or you can stay here and eat treats out of the bucket. It transferred really easily to, okay, now let's work on other stuff away from the bucket. And yeah, you could still make the choice, but you're clearly choosing to stay with me.
Yeah, that's great. I could see that really helping dogs learn how to maintain focus for longer and longer periods of time.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic for that because you are working in such a controlled setting initially of, you know, just look at the treat bucket, you know, just do that. And then you can broaden it out to other things and other applications. Absolutely.
Nice. So I know some people are probably like, what's the difference between this and just bribing the dog to stay there? So do you want to kind of like explain that a little bit, like what the difference is between that and bribing?
Yeah, totally. So let's just talk about bribing for a second. So I would imagine that would be like, and I'm not saying at all that this is bad and you should never, ever do this, but that would potentially be where you have like, a jar of baby food and you've frozen it and the dog just licks while you're doing whatever you're doing to them. And that's okay. If your dog is comfortable eating out of the baby food jar like that and you can brush them and nothing terrible is happening, that's great. But with the bucket game, what we do is we wait until we mark and then reinforce them. So the treats are there and it becomes part of the environment that, yeah, the treats are there. If you stare at them, you will then get food. So it's not like we don't ever use it in a way of like, look, there are treats here. Look, come on, pay attention to the treats. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more passive of like, okay, here's the bucket of treats. You look at it, you get food. You look at it, you get food. You continue looking at it. While we do these weird things, you get food. So it's throughout the training process of it, it very clearly becomes not a bribe and more of a cue to the dog. I would imagine that. Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Sorry, my brain is still somewhat asleep. So I know. Questioning everything I'm saying out loud.
Yeah, so there's an extra step in there, as in, you know, they have to wait for the marker.
Mm-hmm. So what got you interested in sort of focusing on the bucket game as sort of a niche as opposed to any other concept in the dog training world?
That's a good question, because there are a ton of concepts out there.
Exactly.
So what got me really interested into it was actually my pet bird. I had this adorable little parrot named Joey, and he was terrified of going to the vet's office, and I wanted to find a way for him to be comfortable with it. So I spent a huge amount of time training him to do voluntary stuff. And then I went to the PPG summit last year and went to Chirag's presentation about the bucket game, and it just blew my mind, because I had been taking so much time and so much effort with my little bird to do all of this voluntary procedure stuff, and just to see that this bucket game thing created a way to do all of that, but also a very clear way for the learner, or you know, the dog or the cat or whatever, to say no thank you, was huge. So I was really excited about that. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to try it with my bird. But, you know, I'm just using my dog as the guinea pig, and it's working out quite lovely. So, nice. You know, now my little bird and all of his inspiration that he gave me is just kind of driving me, because there are so many times in which we need to do these things to our pets, but they're not satisfied with it, or they're not comfortable with it, or they're fighting it. They think we're trying to hurt them, which in some cases, some of the stuff we have to do to them will hurt. So it's I don't know, it seems to me like that's what I really need to be focusing on right now, is finding a way for us to communicate with our animals of, hey, we do genuinely love you, and we're doing this because we want you to be healthy and to continue to flourish.
Right.
You know, if we can do that in a manner in which they're like, oh, okay, yeah, cool, let's do it, you know, then why not?
Very cool. So on a personal note, I want to know why you named your dog Banana.
I was thinking of posting something online about that, because I get a lot of questions about it.
I mean, I think I know, but
yeah. So as you know, I assist at KPA a lot, and I am around a lot of people who are training their dogs to do things, and I get to watch them in a positive but critical manner, you know, in a way that it was like, okay, does that cue actually mean what you think it means, or are there other things cueing your dog? And it just kind of became a running joke of, you could genuinely just say Banana right now, and your dog would probably still do the sit or the hand target or whatever it is. So it just kind of came out of that of like, you know, Banana became my favorite proofing word of somebody would go, oh yeah, she nose down. Okay, do the same thing, but just say Banana. And then the dog would lay down, and, you know, we'd all kind of have a good giggle about it. So it became just kind of this word that means to me that, you know, what we're training, is that what the learner's actually picking up? You know, just kind of like a, I don't know. That's why he's called Banana.
That's really cute.
So what is your cue for down for Banana?
Honestly, he doesn't know sit or down yet.
Okay. He's got the bucket game down, but he doesn't know how to sit?
Yeah. You know, okay. I have priorities. My priorities are, can I touch you, and can I sleep in? Got those two things down.
Those are pretty good priorities, I'd say.
It was rather embarrassing. I was on Periscope the other day, and I think I asked him to sit, and he laid down, and he was like, oh, yep, that's my dog.
How long have you had him?
Since the end of October, so okay. Not that long.
Yeah.
I'm over here justifying why he doesn't know it.
Well, I think that brings up a good question, though. Like, I think every trainer has that person that says, I just want my dog to sit and come. Mm-hmm. And how do you explain, well, yeah, those are really great, but let's do these other concepts first that will get you to the sit and down in a much more solid manner.
Right, exactly. So I think that, you know, with a client like that, what I generally do is just kind of sit them down and go, yes, those are behaviors that will help in these little bitty parts. Like, let's say your dog dashes out of the door. Absolutely, a sit will help. But before we get there, we really need the foundation. We really need to look at your dog as a whole and look at enrichment and their nutrition and all of that and see, you know, what exactly is going on. And then from a healthier, more solid point in your dog where, you know, maybe we've built the foundation of focus and all of that, then we can easily just go in and teach a sit. Whereas right now, if we were to start with the sit, that might take a lot longer and we would absolutely be missing things that we should be helping your dog with.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. That's so reinforcing when I say something and you guys are like, yay!
Yeah.
So where can trainers and pet owners and all those people find out more information about the Bucket Game?
So you can go to my website, which is www.endearingdogs.com. And currently, if you go to /thebucketgame, you will be sent directly to the webinar page where you can sign up, and then you'll get an email with a link of how to access it. And if you're catching this recording of the podcast after the 17th, absolutely send me an email. I can get you the recording. I would love to share the information with you guys.
Great. So, and then also on Periscope, right?
Yeah, I'm trying that out. It's not a bit odd so far.
Yeah.
My username is @endearingdogs if you want to catch some of the weird things that happen on there, like my dog not knowing what a sit is. But I'm also on Instagram, and Instagram is where I post the majority of my stuff. And I ran a training challenge there last year, and I'm hoping to do more of that. And my username there is also @endearingdogs. So feel free to come check it out, message me. I'd love to hear from you guys and just talk training stuff.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, let us know. Keep us up to date on your contests, and we're happy to share about those.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely will.
Yay. So before we let you go to get coffee and wake up, any last words? Any last thoughts on anything, really?
Yeah, absolutely. So just kind of to reiterate how important choice is in all of the stuff that we do with our learners, I'm going to tell a tiny little story about my bird. In January of 2014, I believe, I took him to the vet and he needed his nails done and all of that. And they just wrapped him in a towel and forced him through all of that stuff. And he ended up having a seizure. He was so stressed out of his little bird brain and just his body couldn't handle it anymore. So from that moment, I was then able to do the nail trimming, a lot of the stuff force-free, and he never had another seizure because he never had to be put back into that towel. And through all of it, he was choosing. I need to see if I have video of it. I would bring the nail clippers over to his cage and he'd like run to the corner where he'd get his nails clipped and just hang there while I would clip a nail. So his choice allowed it so that his body was not stressed during these procedures and we didn't have any more health scares like seizures. So not only is it like an emotional thing, but for him, it also affected him physically. So choice is huge. So, and you know, it's my choice now as an owner and as a trainer to just focus on this stuff. And I love it because being able to, you know, I know it's silly, but being able to like brush my dog is a huge thing because vacuuming is terrible.
No, that's so, a great story.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll put links up to your webinar and your sites and things. And thank you so much for hopping out of bed and joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me this morning. This was wonderful.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Dog Trainer podcast. Don't forget, you can check out the show notes at themoderndogtrainer.net/podcast. You can also share your thoughts and support our podcast by leaving a review on iTunes. Until next time.